Welcome to the Sensory Project Show with Rachel and Jessica. We're here to share all things sensory, occupational therapy, parenting, self-care, and overall health and wellness from a therapist's perspective, providing raw, honest, fun ideas and strategies for parents and families to implement into daily life. Thank you so much for joining us. A special thank you to Advanced Brain Technologies for joining us on this podcast adventure. We are so excited to announce that we've teamed up with Advanced Brain Technologies to bring you a special offer on all their programs. You've heard us talk about the listening program before, and we absolutely love the benefits we've seen. From the listening program to Brain Builder to Sleep Genius, ABT scientifically designed programs will make a difference in your lives.
Jessica and I are both certified providers, so we can help you and your family find a program specialized just for you. To learn more or to get started, head to our website, thesensoryproject.com, or call ABT at 888-228-1798 and tell them you heard about this amazing offer through the Sensory Project podcast. We couldn't be more excited to share this wonderful company with all of you. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Sensory Project Show.
We are talking about the auditory system today.
All things auditory.
So, I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory. It's our sense of hearing.
Initially, it is.
Yes, because there's different parts to the auditory system.
Yes.
There's hearing, and then there's the auditory processing.
Yes.
And deficits in those two areas are going to affect people differently.
Mm-hmm.
So
let's talk about hearing loss first. So this is what we normally think of with the auditory system. Jessica, I know you have a lot of hearing loss.
Thanks.
How is it impacting your daily functioning?
Oh, I have to ask questions and sentences to be repeated quite frequently.
That is true.
So hearing loss is basically a problem with one or more parts of the ear that interrupts the way sound travels through the hearing system to the brain. So someone with hearing loss like me might be able to hear most sounds, or they might only hear some sounds, or nothing at all.
So then we have the auditory processing component, which is not the inability to hear. It is the ability to interpret, organize, and analyze what's heard. So all the parts of the hearing pathway are working well, but the brain is not interpreting those messages the right way.
So they're very different, for mm-hmm. sure. And hearing loss is something that can be detected pretty early on, right? Like infants can be diagnosed. And there's different symptoms that will be seen with hearing loss or with auditory processing deficits.
Yep, so let's talk about those symptoms real quick. So the first, let's talk about the symptoms of early childhood hearing loss.
Okay. So your child might not react to loud sounds.
They might not be able to detect where a sound is coming from. So, for example, turning their head towards the person who is speaking or the sound that they heard.
Your child might not respond to their own name by about 6 months of age.
And babbling does not develop into recognizable speech sounds or into words by the age of two.
Your child might start showing frustration and act out aggressively.
And your child might ask, "What?" or "Huh?" when spoken to.
That's me. That's what happens. So there's a couple of those that do show up as a symptom of auditory processing deficits mm-hmm. as well.
Yes.
But there's still quite a few differences. So some of the symptoms of an auditory processing disorder might be an unusual sensitivity to loud sounds.
That is what we see the most as therapists.
Yes.
Another one is difficulty understanding speech in noisy environments.
Difficulty following directions, especially directions with more than one step.
Yep. And then difficulty telling the difference between similar sounding speech sounds. For example, pat and bat.
Difficulty with spelling, reading, and understanding information when it's presented verbally.
And then, similar to hearing loss, they might say, "Huh?" or "What?" when they're spoken to.
And then they might seek out making odd noises or repetitively use toys that make odd noises.
Mm-hmm. So when you're diagnosing auditory processing disorder or hearing loss, you want to make sure that you have the right team of multidisciplinary consultants. So what this might look like is an ENT, so a pediatric ear, nose, and throat doctor. They're going to assess the medical problems, the hearing pathway, ear infections, all of those components.
Then you're also going to go to the audiologist, and this is the one who will test hearing sensitivity to see if there's any hearing loss. And an audiologist can also administer a series of tests that will determine if auditory processing disorder is present.
Mm-hmm.
So they can look at both.
Yep. And the next one is a speech-language pathologist. So they're going to test the developmental milestones, speech, written language, all of those components.
And then a teacher or an educational expert can look at the academic difficulties that are present.
Yep. And then a psychologist can evaluate the cognitive functioning.
So basically, if you suspect hearing loss or suspect auditory processing disorder, you're gonna set up quite a few appointments,
mm-hmm.
go through a series of tests. So it might be a lot.
A lot of paperwork.
A lot of paperwork. A lot of offices. But ultimately, if you go and you find your answers, then it's going to be worth it. So if your child has any of those symptoms that we talked about, it's definitely worth looking into and talking to your pediatrician.
The sooner, the better.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So how does this relate to OT and what we do?
So many ways.
Because as occupational therapists or occupational therapy assistants, we don't necessarily work with hearing loss.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's not something that
we're trained in.
Yeah, it's not within our scope. So
yeah.
We do work with children with auditory processing disorders as well as speech therapy.
Yes.
Because speech therapy is the big one for auditory processing.
So in these kiddos that we work with who have auditory processing disorder or they have auditory processing challenges, sometimes it's not diagnosed, but we still see those deficits. You might see that they are not being able to follow instructions. They can't listen when someone is talking in a busy environment. And all of the symptoms affect a child's ability to get through their day.
And that's where we come in,
mm-hmm.
because we are going to work with them to successfully get through their day. And from an auditory processing standpoint, we're going to help them with their ability to follow directions at school and with their reading and writing,
mm-hmm.
playing on the playground with their friends, playing sports. And then the big one is just tolerating noises in the environment, mm-hmm. fire alarms, vacuums, in the restaurants, because those are where you're really going to see those adverse reactions.
Yeah, and that's where we get referrals a lot of the time, is kiddos won't want to flush the toilet because it's too loud.
Oh yeah, that is a big one.
Mm-hmm. And so when those kiddos are covering their ears with everyday sounds, it's impacting their ability to get through the day, and they're having more anxiety with those noises that are just part of an average person's day. So that's where we want to step in, provide accommodations, modifications, treatment activities to address those underlying auditory processing challenges.
Okay, so getting into the good stuff about what you should do.
This is why you're all here.
What can you do if your child struggles with auditory processing? So first we wanted to just throw out a couple of book ideas.
Yes.
And we will link them in the show notes and on the website so you can go check them out. But the first one is called The Listening Child, What Can Go Wrong? What All Parents and Teachers Need to Know About the Struggle to Survive in Today's Noisy Classroom. And it's by Stephen Prescod.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So that one's a good one. That was a mouthful,
yes,
though.
It was. So another book that we love, it's called When the Brain Can't Hear, Unraveling the Mystery of Auditory Processing Disorder. And that's by Terry James Bellis.
And then the last one is called The Sound of Hope, Recognizing, Coping with, and Treating Your Child's Auditory Processing Disorder. And that's by Lewis Cam Heyman.
And I might have said that wrong.
I feel like it's Lois.
Lois?
Yeah.
Lois Cam Haven. Oh my gosh. I'm fired. You know what I mean.
Oh, yes. Just so, find them in the show notes.
But then there's lots of different activities that you can do. Not even necessarily like games you can buy, but just little activities that you can do at home or, you know, at the playground that you can do to work on the auditory processing piece with your mm-hmm. child. So,
and your kiddo doesn't even have to know that you're working on these things.
True.
If you, and it's yeah. better if they don't know. If you're just like, oh, hey, let's make shaking sounds. So let's go into our first idea.
So shaking sounds. So putting small hard items into small containers or jars with covers so that they can't see what the items are. So items like stones, beans, chalk, salt, sand, rice. Oh my gosh, there's so many different ideas. But then having the child identify those items by shaking and listening mm-hmm. to the noise that they make.
So going along with that, if you had maybe 5 different boxes and you had a different number of each of those items in there, you could have them shake it and try to put them in order from least to greatest, greatest to least, and try to figure out which box has the most of those items.
Definitely. That one's tricky. That one's hard.
It is.
Done that before. It's tricky. There's also another one where we call it near or far, and your child will close their eyes, and they will judge what part of the room a sound is coming from and whether it's near or far. Mm-hmm. And I really like this one because it teaches a lot of spatial relations, too, because your child's going to have to identify if the sound is close to them or yeah. far away, what part of the room. So it's also just working on a lot of other skills.
And if they're a little bit older, you can incorporate the laterality component, and you can say, is it on your left? Is it on your right? Is it above? Is it below? Is it under? Over? Et cetera, yeah, et cetera.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Kind of going along with that, adding a loud or soft component, because then your child would have to discriminate between a loud sound or a soft sound. Mm-hmm. Or, I mean, any other type of sound, like a scratching sound or...
A ball bouncing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all kinds of different things.
Another area that we like to address is school.
This is a big one.
Kids spend a lot of time at school. So we like to provide environmental modifications, such as classroom acoustics, where your kiddo is sitting in the classroom.
That's a big one.
Mm-hmm.
If your child has an auditory processing deficit or disorder, and they're sitting in the middle of the classroom, in the middle of all the other kids.
All the chaos.
They are not going to hear what the teacher is saying, mm-hmm. and they're not going to be able to process instructions. So sitting your child... Well, I guess talking with your teacher mm-hmm. and your child even, to have your child sitting closer to the front of the classroom, away from pencil sharpeners, away from the window, mm-hmm. that kind of thing yep. can be so helpful.
Another thing that we like to use are microphone systems.
Oh, yes.
So this will probably have to be put in your child's IEP or 504. And it's a little microphone that you can give the teacher, and your kiddo has the earphone. And it just puts the teacher's voice into your child's ear. So it's just right there. They don't have to filter out all the background noise. So that's a great tool that we like to suggest as well.
And the microphone will usually like clip to the teacher's clothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's really discreet and mm-hmm. don't even know it's there.
Yep. And that way, if you have multiple kids in the classroom that are struggling with the auditory processing, multiple kids can have that microphone, and the teacher just has to have that one clip.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, noise-canceling headphones.
Oh, yes.
Those are good.
This is a really good one for those busy, busy environments like restaurants
mm-hmm.
or...
Maybe transitioning in the hallway at school.
Oh, my gosh, that's
chaos. Or fire alarms or the lunchroom.
Definitely. Noise-canceling headphones are really
Recess.
Good.
Recess.
Definitely.
Yeah.
The only thing I don't like about noise canceling headphones is that it does bring a lot of attention to the child.
Yes.
So that can sometimes be a challenge.
Mm-hmm. Can affect their social interactions.
Definitely. So there's a lot of games that you can purchase to play with your child, or have your child play by themselves or with their friends or whatever. But there's a lot of games out there that you have no idea that it worked on auditory processing. Like, it's amazing, all these different games. So we're just going to kind of rapid fire off our favorites. And then always, always go check out the show notes and the website, because we will link them there as well.
Yep. There you go.
All right. Let's do it.
So the first one is a game called A Rhyme in Time. And it's just a board game that incorporates rhyming.
That one sounds so fun. Battleship.
Oh, following those auditory instructions.
That's a tricky one.
A Blind Man's Bluff. So it's similar to Marco Polo.
Boggle. Have you ever played Boggle?
A long time ago.
That's a good one.
I don't like it as much as Bop It.
Bop It is...
Oh my goodness.
An amazing one. And getting the different versions of Bop It.
Yes.
Because then you can do like a group of people playing Bop It and you have to pass it around. Ooh, Catchphrase.
Love that game.
That is a good one.
Still love that game. Musical Chairs. And there's a ton of different modifications you can do to musical chairs to make it age appropriate for whatever age of kiddos you're working with or your children are.
Red Light, Green Light. Mm-hmm. Love that game.
And we've talked about Walk, Stop, Wiggle, Sit before, right?
Have we? We might have.
And yeah, it was a while ago, probably. I think. Probably. Same idea. Just walk, stop, wiggle, sit.
Yep. Simon Says, going along with that same idea.
And then the colored game, Simon.
And this one is an interesting one because while it has the auditory component to it, it also just has so much visual memory and sequencing to it. So that's just an amazing one.
The telephone game.
I love the telephone game.
Love telephone. That's a great group activity.
Oh, so
fun. Or birthday party game.
Oh, yes. Twister.
Twister is classic.
It's a good one.
I bet you guys didn't think that you're actually working on auditory components when you're playing Twister.
No, you wouldn't even think about it, would you? Mm.
Another one is Password.
So, and see, I haven't played that one.
I used to play it as a kid with my family, and it's a great, great game to incorporate as well.
Taboo.
Ooh.
I do like that one.
Yep. Mozart Magic Cube.
And this one is a really cute little toy for little kids. And it's just this little cube and has different musical instruments with it. So that can be a fun one to play.
Twister Moves.
Yes, along with Twister.
Twister Moves. Yes, yep. If you guys haven't played that one.
That one's hard. I have a hard time with that one.
It's really fun.
It is really fun, and the kids love it.
All right, another one of our favorites is the game called Guess Who.
I love that game so much.
It is a fantastic game.
Anything with a metronome.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about the metronome before, but man, the metronome is such a great tool to use for so many things, and auditory processing, oh my gosh, it's going to just work on that hardcore.
Yep. So another one of our favorites, if you guys haven't figured this out already, are music programs.
Mm-hmm.
So one of our favorites, it's called the Integrated Listening System.
Yep. So definitely check that one out if you've never heard of it. And we'll probably talk about it in another episode later.
Yep.
We can definitely do that. And then the big one is called the Listening Program.
Yep.
We've talked about it. You've heard us talking about it.
Yes.
But the Listening Program is fabulous, and there's research behind it.
So I bet you guys are curious. What the heck is the Listening Program?
And why do we keep talking about it besides the fact that we love it?
Well, next week... Guess what?
What?
We are interviewing the freaking CEO of the Listening Program.
We are. Yes.
I'm so excited.
Yes. It's going to be so fun.
We're thrilled.
He's going to give us so many good things. I don't even know.
We're at a loss of words, you guys. We don't even know what to say. We're so giddy.
So make sure you listen next week. Thanks for listening today.
Thank you, guys. Hopefully, you guys got some great ideas.
I was going to say that, too.
Oh, my gosh.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
I love it. Tag us when you guys are playing these games or trying them out. If you love any of them. If you have any other ideas, send them our way.
Yes. If you have some games that you're like, oh, that works on auditory processing, let us know, because we just want to keep sharing all the ideas. Make sure you leave us a review on iTunes.
We love your reviews, you guys. You've been killing it in the review department, and we appreciate it.
And the reviews just really help get us up there in the podcast world. It does. Yeah. The more reviews we get, the more likely other people are to see our podcast, and we just reach more people. So,
So thanks, guys.
All right.
We will see you next week. Yay!
I hope we better see you next week. I mean, you better listen next week. Whatever. Okay, bye.
Bye, guys. We are so excited to work together and to help create confident kids all over the world and work towards a happier, healthier life. This is general information related to occupational therapy, pediatrics, sensory integration, and overall health and wellness. We do not know you or your child, therefore, we do not know any specific needs, therefore, you should always refer back to your pediatrician and occupational therapist.